The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, EC deletes names of 56,000 voters who registered with NHIS cards from electoral roll. Government to pay VRA debts owed local banks and suppliers. President Mahama in Northern Region on last leg of accounting to the people tour. Pests invade maize farms in Adidoma, and UK Prime Minister David Cameron leaves number 10 Downing Street today. The news in detail. The Electoral Commission says it has deleted names of the 56,000 voters who registered with NHIS cards. Deputy Communications Director at the Commission, Yusuf Ayuba, said the deletion was done yesterday and announced to the parties that an IPAC meeting. He said the names of those deleted will be published in the dailies on Friday to make way for affected persons to take notes for re-registration.
Yeah, it was one of the issues that was discussed at IPAC today. We told the various political parties and other stakeholders that the EC had deleted the names of those who registered with the NHIS, and we are even in the process of publishing their names so that we can offer them an opportunity to go back and the various centers that we want to take for them to re-register.
And publishing their names where?
We are in a process of publishing their names in the dailies, and I think hopefully Friday we should get the names published.
Friday we'll get all the names of the 56,000 in the dailies.
I don't think we can get all the names published. I think that it would the modality for publishing the names it will be gradual. I don't think it can be done in a go. Yes.
Well, but then those who cannot, for instance, read or write, how would they know that their names are part of those that have been published or yet to be published?
At the district level, we are going to also publish the names at the district level and also publish it at the district. So that is in our offices at the district level, and also at the district assembly to publish the name. And we'll also make a list available at the various exhibition centers that we are going to have during the exhibition, so that if you go to check your name, you would check on the NHIS list to see whether your name is found on that list. If your name is not found on that list, then it means that you are safe. Your name would be on the register. But if your name is found on the list, then it means that you have to come with the necessary identification so that you are actually a Ghanaian and you are qualified to be on the register, and would go ahead and re-register you.
Well, and I mentioned earlier, how about those who cannot read or write?
I think that shouldn't be an excuse. I think that if you cannot read or write, you get somebody who can do that so that you can confirm, so that you don't get disenfranchised.
Samuel Owusu Ampofu of the NDC, who was at the IPAC meeting, expressed satisfaction at the quick manner with which the EC carried out the Supreme Court's directive.
We were very satisfied with the actions that the Electoral Commission has taken. At least we have complied with the Supreme Court directive, and the EC chair indicated to us that we have deleted all the 56,722 names from the database of the Electoral Commission, and have given the opportunity for those people to re-register. Our only concern was that we thought that the registration should have been done at the various registration centers that people did their registration. The EC chair indicated that 2 weeks it's too short a time for them to reconfigure their biometric verification device to undertake the exercise in the polling stations or registration centers. So they are doing it at the district level. That is where some difficulties will come in, because when people have the discomfiture of traveling some long distances from villages to come to the district office to register. Again, the names have been pasted at the district office and the district assembly office, and we've been told that they also publish it in the daily. The question is that those who are in remote communities who don't have access
those who cannot read or write.
Yes, what will happen? This guy was suggesting that the LCC should team up with the Electoral Commission and quickly take the names and do some follow-up. Again, the Electoral Commission has indicated that they are giving us the list in such cases, so we will also print them out. And then, since every single vote is very important to us as a political party, we also follow up, locate the people and facilitate their movement to get themselves registered, because we believe that if we do that, we'll be helping the Electoral Commission to get these people re-registered. And that has been the rule of political party to do the registration, to help in mobilizing their membership to get registered.
It is Samuel Ofosu Ampofu of the NDC. Now, Acting General Secretary of the NPP, John Buidu, also expressed satisfaction with the outcome of the IPAC meeting. He, however, had reservations about how the EC intends to re-register those affected.
Well, as for the deletion, it was a directive to the Electoral Commission. I can't speak for them, but all what we've been told at the IPAC is that they have complied and deleted the name. What we expect now is to get the list out, and then we will follow up and play our role in getting them, in helping them to re-register.
Well, but apart from the deletion of the 56,000 names, how about the voters' exhibition?
Yeah, the EC took us through the processes, and so we are very satisfied with the processes. We are going to deploy. It's going to take place in 29,000 registration centers. So we are going to deploy our agents, and we are starting our training of the agents. So, but we waited because we wanted the final outcome of this Supreme Court so that whatever training we are giving to our agents will incorporate the latest development.
Oh, we do apologize for that right now. Government is taking steps to pay some 2.2 billion cedis debts. The Volta River Authority, VRA, owes local banks and suppliers. Under the arrangement, VRA's legacy debts will be paid from a special account open to receive proceeds from the energy sector levy. 50% of the funds accruing under the power generation and infrastructure support sub-account under the energy sector levy Act will be used to retire the legacy debts. A statement issued by VRA said the government would use the remaining 50% of funds from the levy plus the current enhanced business as usual receivables of the VRA, all of which is to be escrowed into a centrally managed account to service trade and other creditors of the power sector. An energy expert, Dr. Ishmael Akka, says diversification of fuel sources is key to solving Ghana's power crisis. Ghana currently has the capacity, but the recurring water shortage in the Akonsombo and Bui dams, coupled with inadequate fuel to power the plants, have worsened the situation. Ghana, Dr. Akka said, at the moment should be planning to invest in solar and wind energy to serve as alternative to hydro and thermal. Dr. Akka, who is head of policy at the Africa Center for Energy, said this at a forum on Citizens' Agenda for Energy Development in Tamale. He hinted that the country is likely to go back to load shedding if stringent provisions are not made by government to fuel the plants as a matter of urgency. With the introduction of the energy realignment, Dr. Akka noted that consumers will see little reduction in their tariffs, but that should not compromise frequent power supply. Mohamed Fugu has more.
The African Center for Energy Policy is collating citizens' views on energy and their expectation for the 2016 election. This is to give citizens the platform to contribute to the manifesto of political parties and the national energy policy. ASAP believes that citizens' participation in the decision-making process in the energy sector is critical to having a robust and all-inclusive energy policy. The head of policy unit at ASAP, Dr. Ishmael Akka, said a document of views collected is to inform the energy policies to be implemented by government. According to the executive director of ASAP, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, Ghana can only develop by paying much attention to the energy sector since it is the pivot of all economic activities. Dr. Amin Adam said ASAP will engage key energy experts in a platform to scrutinize political parties' manifesto promises in the energy sector to help shape their energy policies and programs. He said ASAP believes politicians should be held accountable for the numerous promises made in their manifestos and will continue to create platform for citizens to add their voice. Energy production does not automatically transmit into development, but it is the daily action and policies that help to channel resources and revenues into economic and social development. It is therefore important for all citizens to show interest in the development of the sector by joining the campaign trail in holding duty bearers accountable.
Mohamed Fugu actually saw that report. President Mahama has ended his two-day accounting to the people tour of the Upper East region with a sword-cutting ceremony for work to start on the Chuchuliga-Sandima-Wesi-Nakong Road. The president also inaugurated a water system project for the people of Navrongo and surrounding towns. Pascaline Adarivo has sent this report.
President Mahama's two-day accounting to the people tour of the Upper East region saw him inaugurate very crucial projects for the people. He cut short for work to start on the 211-kilometer Boga-Boku Road. The road which links Bogatanga to Togo and Burkina Faso is riddled with potholes, having adverse effects on trade. President Mahama also inaugurated an expanded water project for Boku and other towns which are water-starved, and also cut short for a 3,000-hectare irrigation dam project which has been on the drawing board since the 1970s. President Mahama's last day in the region saw another sword-cutting ceremony for work to start on the Chuchuliga-Sandima-Wesi-Nakong Road.
The rehabilitation of the Chuchuliga-Sandima-Wiaga-Wesi Road and also the rehabilitation of the Navrongo-Chuchuliga-Tumu Road. These are two important roads that have been neglected for a very long time. And so I'm very happy that work is commencing. The contractor has mobilized, he's on site. And as you can see, he started clearing the road already. The funding is available, and so there's not going to be any delay. The contractor is going to continue working, and he'll be paid as and when he raises a certificate. So if the contractor is not working, it's not because we haven't paid him. You have to hold him and deal with him.
President Mahama also spoke on why the need to embark on the nationwide tour after his first term as president.
In the past 3.5 years since I was sworn in, one of the pillars of our manifesto, that is pillar 4, is accountable and transparent governance. And so I thought it my duty to go around the country and account to the people what we have been doing with their mandate this last 3.5 years. And over the last 3.5 years, the areas that we have focused on include water, extension of electricity, education, healthcare, and roads. And if you take these 5 areas, you would notice that massive development has taken place across the country. But it's not only in the area of social economic infrastructure. We have also been investing in the area of job creation. And so for the first time in the history of this country, we gave the pharmaceutical industry 51 million Ghana cedis to expand their production processes so that they can employ more people. Many of the industries that Dr. Kwame Nkrumah built that were neglected, we are restoring them one by one. We also have started a youth employment agency, and it is recruiting. And so you see some of the community security police, they call them Mahama police, in the light blue uniform. One of the good things about the youth employment agency is 50 cedis of their remuneration is being put in a provident fund, and it will be put in a provident fund, high interest yielding, for 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, they'll be giving that money as a lump sum, which they can use as capital to start a business of their own. And so there are very good programs that are available, and I urge you all to take advantage of them.
Later, the president joined the chiefs and people of Navrongo to inaugurate a water system. The project comes as a great source of joy as the facility is extended to communities even beyond Navrongo. The water project by the government of Ghana under the urban water system is financed by the World Bank. The Navrongo township has also benefited from standpipes, boreholes, and water reservoirs.
And it is our intention to achieve universal water coverage by the year 2020. This shows equity and points to the NDC government's social democratic credentials. We are even handed and equitable when it comes to distribution of the national aid. Our government has shown the commitment to go to any length to ensure that all our citizens get this very important resource, water. And by end of 2016, government would have achieved this target of having increased access to water in Ghana by 109.7 million gallons per day. And this water is reaching 7 million more Ghanaians.
The paramount chief of Navrongo, Naba Ada, was grateful for the water and other projects the region has benefited from. He requested for a vehicle for the chiefs to help them move around. Naba Ada gave President Mahama a new name, which is Wepia, meaning God's gift.
That was Pascal Ngadadewo's report from the Upper East region. Meanwhile, President Mahama will today take the last leg of the Accounting to the People tour to the Northern region. The president in the next 2 days in Tamale is expected to inspect some projects, inaugurate new projects, and cut short for work to start on new ones. Vice President Kwesi Mizaatar has taken delivery of 2 of the 3 SUVs he ordered from a local manufacturing firm, Kantanka Automobile Company, to be used by his office. He said the purchase of the 3 vehicles is a testament of the faith government has in the Ghanaian entrepreneur. The vice president, who took delivery of the vehicles on the premises of Kantanka Automobile Manufacturing Plant at Gomwamputa in the central region, urged Ghanaians to patronize made in Ghana goods.
It was part of our support for Ghanaian enterprise, Ghanaian business. This is an interesting factory, assembly plant, quite innovative. The cars have a certain quality, they compete favorably with imported ones. They are also cheaper, and the local availability of parts and expertise to fix them if there are any problems. So it is consistent with this government's support for domestic enterprise. So it was on those basis that we decided to acquire a few of them for the use of my office. Kantanka provided a vehicle to the police. You know, the police use the cars intensively, and they've used this vehicle for more than a year. They haven't had any problem. And so it was very confident that the way we use that is not as intensively as we will be able to maintain this for long. I'll be using this in Accra. If I can use it, I think they can also be comfortable with using the same vehicle. It is not like I've been to some manufacturing plants in other countries. They are very sophisticated. But this is a beginning, and we need to encourage our own. The beginning, they will improve, and they'll get better, and we'll all be better for it. They've created quite a bit of employment. It is good for the community. It is good for people, and learning about new technology, improving it, innovating, it's all good for the economy.
Vice President Kwesi Mizaatar, the Chief Executive Officer of Kantanka Automobile Limited, Kwajo Safo, was grateful to the Vice President for having confidence in the company and purchasing 3 of the fleet of vehicles manufactured by a Ghanaian. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. EC deletes names of 56,000 voters who registered with NHIS cards from electoral roll. Government to pay VRA debts owed local banks and suppliers. President Mahama in Northern Region on last leg of Accounting to the People tour. Pests invade maize farms in Adidoma, and UK Prime Minister David Cameron leaves number 10 Downing Street today. The Kumasi Metropolitan Chief Executive Kojo Bonsu has resigned. In his letter of resignation, Mr. Bonsu expressed his profound gratitude to President Mahama for the opportunity to serve the country. He also expressed his gratitude to the Asante Inu Tunfo and the Kumasi Traditional Council, as well as the staff of the KMA for their cooperation. Mr. Bonsu's resignation follows the Traditional Council's call on President Mahama to fire him over his decision to unilaterally remove the Amuamanghini from the KUTR Market Project Board without informing the Asante Inu Tunfo. The Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly has launched a book dubbed Kumasi Development Brochure. The brochure, christened Changing Lives and Transforming Kumasi, is a one-stop information on the development projects carried out in various sectors of the metropolis. It is in line with government's policy of being accountable to the people and being transparent in the day-to-day administration of the country. Speaking at the launch of the brochure, the immediate past chief executive of KMA, Kojo Bonsu, said despite challenges confronting the assembly, it has has embarked on massive infrastructural development to give Kumasi a facelift. He said the brochure is meant to throw more light on the development projects that is taking place in the various sectors such as education, health, water, sanitation and waste management. He explained that the development projects were financed through internally generated funds, being rates, fees and fines collected from the people of Kumasi. Some of the projects were also financed under the District Assembly's Common Fund, the District Development Fund, Urban Development Grant from donor partners and the World Bank. He said it is the hope of the Assembly that these projects distributed across the metropolis will go a long way to improve the lives of the people. He was optimistic that they will also create an enabling environment for the local economic development of Kumasi. The Jafeche of Bawi Gonse in the Gasauth district, Ni Osabu, has appealed to the police to expedite action on a case in which one Nicholas Nikwe Kote, alias Cobra, who is alleged to have attacked his household with a gang of about 20 armed men and succeeded in maiming his wife, Mercy Boateng, and his house help, Yao Muchupui. According to Neo Sabu, last Friday, the said Kote, after destroying property worth millions of cedis in his vicinity, came to his house and upon meeting his absence, inflicted machete wounds on his wife and another member of his household. Addressing a news conference in Accra, the Jafeche said Kote, an ex-convict, has been terrorizing residents of Bawi Gonse for some time now and has escaped arrest on several occasions and is on the police list. Large army of stem borers, sporadic pests, invaded the Adidoma district, causing havoc to maize farms. Already they have wiped out vast acres of farms, posing serious threat to food security in the district. The Central Tong DCE, Madam Mary Agbenyanu, who disclosed this, said the pests are now everywhere in the district. She said the trend would affect earnings of the farmers. When contacted, the district crop officer, Francis Chambo, said the invasion by the stem borers is due to drought, adding they usually affect maize late in the season. According to him, the pests usually destroy the ability of the maize of photosynthesis. To mitigate the damage, Mr. Chamo said the farmers are being assisted by the district agricultural office to acquire the appropriate pesticides such as Blast, Fipro, Protect and others to embark on massive spraying of the farms. Parliament has ratified two ECOWAS regulations which govern seed quality control and fertilizer trade within the sub-region. The regulations are on harmonization of rules governing quality control, certification and marketing of plant seeds and seedlings, and the other relating to fertilizer quality control. The report of the Committee on Food and Agriculture and Cocoa Affairs was presented for the adoption of the regulations. The chairman of the committee, Gabriel Isilfi, said regulating transboundary movements of seeds and fertilizers across the sub-region is essential to ensuring availability of quality seeds and fertilizers among ECOWAS member countries as a measure to increase productivity and achieving food security. Here's a report by our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Lodge and Augustus Akwey.
According to reports, private sector investment in seed production and distribution is also flourishing in West Africa, while fertilizer consumption is the lowest in the world. The regulations are to sustain the private sector drive in the seed sector while maintaining quality and addressing challenges with the importation and distribution of fertilizers across the sub-region. They will also ensure local production, encourage timely access to quality seeds and fertilizers. The chairman of the Food, Agriculture and Cocoa Affairs Committee, Gabriel Esil, Wofi said the objectives of the regulations are to provide a general framework on rules governing quality control certification and marketing of seeds and fertilizers within member states.
Under the regulations, a seed registered in the name of a particular country cannot be registered in the name of another country. To derive the benefit and research under the regulations, it would be imperative that the intellectual property rights pertaining to varieties developed in Ghana are officially registered and recognized. This will strengthen the position of the country in the event of a dispute with another member country over the registration of a given variety. It is therefore imperative that Parliament expedite work on the passage of the Plant Breeders Bill to complement the effective implementation of the regulations. The committee also noted that though the regulation C/Reg December 13, 2012 outlined procedures for ensuring the supply and marketing of quality fertilizers within member states, it lacked the necessary provisions for controlling smuggling of fertilizers, which is a major challenge on Ghana's fertilizer subsidy program. The Minister for Food and Agriculture informed the committee that the ministry has introduced an innovative system of using information technology to deliver subsidized fertilizers directly to farmers and has helped in reducing the smuggling of fertilizers. It was, however, acknowledged that there were still challenges with respect to the distribution of
the ranking member on Food, Agriculture and Cocoa Affairs Committee, Dr. Efia Kutu, seconded the motion for the ratification of the regulations.
We've always had a problem of smuggling of Ghana's fertilizers to neighboring countries, and I've had occasion, Mr. Speaker, to draw the attention of this House to this phenomenon, which is denying our farmers a much-needed input of fertilizer. The other point is to do with seeds. The two seeds are very important for the transformation of the agricultural sector, and we know, as a matter of fact, that there is always shortage of seeds. Our farmers don't get the quantities of the two seeds that they need to get our fertilizer to apply in order to improve their productivity.
That report was filed by our parliamentary correspondents Dominic Logie and Augustus Akwey. A former minister of budget in the Laurent Gbagbo government, Justin Katinankone, has blamed the International Criminal Court, ICC, for wrongfully arresting and detaining the former Ivorian leader. He said over 5 years into his arrest, no shred of evidence has been provided linking him to any wrongdoing in his country. Mr. Kone said this at the launch of the Free Gbagbo campaign in Accra. Salifu Debre has more.
The function brought together families of Laurent Gbagbo, including his children and granddaughters, and notable members of his government. Former spokesperson of the Arboran leader, Justin Katinankone, said the Free Gbagbo campaign considers the continued incarceration of the former president as a flagrant violation of his human rights and coercion of progressive African leaders whose government seeks to take their countries out of the groups and manipulation of foreign rule and imperialism. He appealed to African and other world leaders to pressurize the International Criminal Court to get Mr. Gbagbo released from prison.
We are appealing all the people to put pressure on the ICC to get the Gbagbo released from ICC from prison. So we came here to sign the petition that has been organized by the Ghanaian citizens, but we understand that the petition has been initiated by two persons, two African persons. The first one, former Prime Minister of Togo, and the agricultural man in Cote d'Ivoire, Bernard Didier. Those initiated their petition. So Ghana, they just want to do an echo of what happened in Cote d'Ivoire, and for that we come here to sign the petition.
The managing editor of the Insight newspaper, Kosi Pratt, blamed the ICC and the West for Mr. Gbagbo's woes. He said the arrest and detention of the former Ivorian leader has nothing to do with Cote d'Ivoire's elections.
It's very important for us to understand that the real reason why the arrest of Gbagbo is before the International Criminal Court has nothing to do with the Ivorian leader. It has absolutely nothing to do with the civil war. It has nothing to do with the Cote d'Ivoire. It has everything to do with the desire of imperialism and not promotion for the world. You know something? And this is wonderful.
Mr. Pratt called on African leaders to seek for Gbagbo's release from prison.
Salim Fudaba reporting. On the foreign front, David Cameron will today hand over as UK's Prime Minister to Home Secretary Theresa May. Mr. Cameron is expected to face his last questions as Prime Minister in the Commons before heading to Buckingham Palace to tender his resignation to the Queen. Mr. Cameron said as he leaves office, he hopes to see a stronger country, adding that it has been a privilege serving Great Britain. And now, who is Theresa May? Radio Ghana brings you a profile of the UK Prime Minister who assumes office today.
59-year-old Mrs. Theresa May is the new Conservative Party leader and UK's second female Prime Minister. She is taking charge at one of the most turbulent times in UK's political history. Mrs. May, the Home Secretary, carefully cultivated an image of political dependability. Long known to have nurtured leadership hopes, Mrs. May's friends recall her early ambition to be the UK's first female PM. Home Secretary since May 2010, Mrs. May was mainly stage educated. She is married to Philip May and loves to cook and has 100 recipe books to her name. Mrs. May has a middle class background and resemblance of Margaret Thatcher. She is daughter of a Church of England vicar, Hubert, who died from injuries sustained in a car crash when she was only 25. As the new UK Premier assumes office, many are asking if Theresa May will represent another Margaret Thatcher for Great Britain.
That was a profile of the new UK Prime Minister, Theresa May. Now, so on the news, the main points again. The Electoral Commission has complied with the Supreme Court's directive to delete the 56,000 voters who registered with NHIS cards from the electoral roll. And David Cameron will today hand over to Home Secretary Theresa May as UK's new Prime Minister. Mrs. May becomes Britain's second female Premier after Margaret Thatcher. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.